Maybe you've heard the term floating around, FOMO, the fear of missing out. Did you know there's something completely opposite of that? The joy of missing out. On today's podcast episode, I'm bringing in Tanya Dalton, the one who termed the joy of missing out, and she's going to dive into how we can actually find joy in doing less in our lives, less in our business, less in the hustle and bustle, and actually finding purpose. And getting our businesses stronger, getting our families stronger, helping us to feel more fulfilled at the end of the day. Get ready to tune into today's podcast because this one is going to rock your world. All right, let's get started. Hey, you're listening to the Because I Can podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building 4 online multi-million dollar businesses with 4 kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at becauseicanlife.com/bundle. Hi, friend. Welcome to the Because I Can Life podcast. I'm Allison Prince, and I'm so glad you're here today. You may notice the last 6 months, I've been bringing in guests who've been talking about just the overwhelm feeling that we can have running our business, running our families, running our life. And then at the end of the day, being so exhausted and just feeling like we're really not doing anything except running around in circles, like a chicken with their head cut off, not accomplishing anything. And so I've been bringing in guest experts to talk about how we can actually do less and get more accomplished and to feel that we are moving things forward and then still being present with those that we love and want to be around. And today's expert, Tanya Dalton, she wrote a book called The Joy of Missing Out. You ever heard that phrase before? This is actually a top-selling book in 2019. Yeah, The Joy of Missing Out. And I wanted to bring Tanya in to help to explain what that really means. And then also her new book called On Purpose. It's pretty impactful, pretty powerful. So let's do this. Let's dive into today's podcast episode. Here we go. Let's dive into this. I do have to like roll back for a second before we dive into this new book that you're launching. Your Joy of Missing Out book. I've got to start there because I truly feel like I'm just saying I've got the chills right now. I truly feel like you are inspired to write that to help us to prepare for what has happened over the last year. The Joy of Missing Out. Like we had to prep ourselves to be okay with not trying to do everything. And so then you write this new book on purpose. And I'm like, how is this woman so inspired? Because now like the world's opening up and I'm listening to my friends and I'm seeing my own life. And I'm like, we just got thrown back into mass chaos. And you're like, well, roll it back. I have a book for you. I have a solution for you.
I have a little something for you.
So can we talk about like where your inspiration comes first? To be able to write these books. And it's not just like a, here, let's just make you feel good book. It's like, here are the strategies to make you to get out of this hustle culture that makes us feel like crap of like, you're missing out. Go, 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 go until there's nothing left inside of you. So can we roll it back a little bit? I know we want to talk about the new book, but where do you get this inspiration in our, you just know what's about to happen in the future.
Well, I have a magic ball, you know, magic crystal ball, but first of all, thank you because it means a lot because, you know, writing a book really is, it's not just words on a page. It's parts of your soul that you're putting into the book. I write very personal stories. I try to really weave that in so that people can see what's truly possible. So it means a lot when people resonate with what I've written. And in terms of the inspiration, it's really one of those things where I really pay attention. I look around, I listen to what the women in my world are talking about, whether they are my followers or my friends, or just listening to the conversations that are happening. And with The Joy of Missing Out, it really was this whole idea that I would ask women in all walks of life, doing all different kinds of things, entrepreneurs, stay-at-home moms, corporate women, I would say like, how are you? How's business? How's life? How are the kids? And that one word came up again and again, overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmed by all the things they have to do, overwhelmed by their calendars, overwhelmed by their to-do list. And so it was really, I feel like the joy of missing out was like my love letter to women, where it's like, you know what? We don't have to do it all. You know, we've been sold this whole bill of goods, this, you know, we can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan because I'm a woman, right?
Yeah.
And that's so hard to live up to, because not only are we supposed to do it all, but we're supposed to do it incredibly well. And by the way, look amazing while we're doing it. Just a little side note there, right? Yeah. And so it's, we wonder why we fall into bed at night and we feel exhausted and we feel overwhelmed. And I think truly, especially as women, we're chasing busy because that's what we think we're supposed to do. We think we're supposed to do everything. We're checking a million things off our to-do list. We fall into bed at night and we're exhausted and we are just worn thin. And then when our head hits the pillow, we think to ourselves, why didn't I get more done? Why didn't I get this done? Why didn't I do that? And we're beating ourselves up. And I think the thing is, it's because we're doing 5 million little tiny things that aren't truly bringing us joy. They're not really bringing us closer to our purpose. They're not really giving us that sense of satisfaction that we really crave. When we choose to do fewer things, when we choose to do things that have more meaning to us, that's when we go to bed at night and our head hits the pillow and we go, oh, today was amazing. Today was incredible. I am amazing. And you know, this is a good question for your listeners. When is the last time you went to bed and said, I'm amazing, or today was amazing? For a lot of women, when I ask that question, they'll say, well, the last time was like when I was on vacation. And I'm like, oh, when you were doing fewer things, when you were focused in on your priorities, for most of us, our family, right? We felt like that day was amazing. And yet our daily lives, we feel like we're supposed to chase after everything. Right. And so it's really this idea of like, how can we choose to miss out on those things that don't really bring us meaning, that don't bring us joy, and do the fewer things that do allow us to feel that beautiful sense of satisfaction at the end of the day? When we do that, we have so much happiness. And when we're happy, everyone around us is happier. I'm a better wife, mom, friend, sister, daughter, all the things when I'm happier. So it really benefits everybody when we take care of ourselves, right? By finding the joy of missing out.
Totally, totally. And you have a story about how you got a bunch on your to-do list done and your husband comes in and he's like, what have you done today? Not like in like a very nice, kind way.
Nice way. Yes.
And you're like, I didn't get this done. I didn't get this done. I didn't get this done. And he was like, whoa, wait a second. Yeah. What about all this other stuff that you did? And so can you talk about how we can get rid of that stuff that doesn't make us feel so good and then bring in the on purpose stuff? Like, why are we doing the stuff that just wears us down, that makes us feel exhausted, that makes us feel like we haven't done anything today? Like, why are we so addicted to that and not to the stuff that actually feeds our soul?
Well, I think a lot of it is we're really caught up in the hustle culture. I mean, this is truly how we've been programmed. It's what we've been taught, that we are supposed to do it all. We're supposed to be everything to everyone. And that's exhausting, first of all. And it creates this culture for us, especially as women, where we feel bad saying no. So we say yes to every opportunity that comes knocking, even the ones that we're not even interested in, that we're saying yes to. And then 5 seconds later going, oh, I can't believe I have to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's this idea that we're so worried about disappointing others. And one of the things I talk about in On Purpose is if you live your life worrying about disappointing others, the only person who's going to be disappointed is you. It's truly when we spend our times on the things that matter most to us, the things that are our priorities, that's when we find a lot of that happiness that we're talking about. When we treat everything as equal, when we treat the dry cleaning the same as picking up the kids' school supplies, the same as the next, you know, work presentation, the same as the marketing budget, when we're treating everything exactly the same, nothing is a priority. And it's no surprise that you are spinning yourself in circles. I talk about that story of coming home from dropping off my kids at school and literally running in circles like, oh, should I start here? Should I start there? What should I work on next? Because there's so much going on in our lives. And so really, it's about getting rid of that overwhelm. I like to say overwhelm isn't having too much to do. It's not knowing where to start. So the first thing,
your definition of overwhelm is spot on. Spot on.
Thank you. To me, it's like when we get that clarity, when we understand what we want to work on, it's like inside, I feel like my shoulders roll back a little bit and I'm like, okay, I feel a little more confident. Like I know what I'm doing and we feel more empowered to step forward. I think it's when we're like, do I do this or that or this over here or that over there? That's when we really give in to that overwhelm and we crumple up like a ball and because we're exhausted, we're wearing ourselves out. And to be honest with you, this is one of the big things we talk about in the Joy of Missing Out, that your to-do list is taking you everywhere but where you want to go. Your to-do list is way too long. I can guarantee any of your listeners right now, pull out your to-do list. There's probably like 15 things on there that you don't really need to do, right? It's like 5 miles too long. It's scattered. It's unorganized. If instead we chose to make a priority list instead, which is essentially a to-do list with intention, takes the same amount of time as to make a to-do list, but it really prioritizes our days. We start at the top. And I go through the different categories of your priority list in The Joy of Missing Out. But we start at the top and we work our way down with what is truly most important to us. And when I say important, I mean, it's connected to our North Star, our mission, our vision, our purpose, who we really are. It's linked to our goals. It's something that's advantageous. It's an investment. And it's things that are urgent. I think we really confuse those two things. We think that anything that is like an urgent fire, anything that's like pinging on our phone or screaming out to us, we should tackle that first. And a lot of times those are other people's priorities. So we're chasing after things that aren't really important to us in the pursuit of making everybody else happy, in the pursuit of trying to do all the things. And we go to bed and we're like, we haven't done anything that's filled our soul. And that's the big question that we start off with in on purpose. You're filling your calendar, but are you filling your soul? You know, we feel like we have to cram it full, but if we're not really filling our soul, what are we filling it with? A lot of the things that don't truly have meaning to us. So it is about clarifying it. Yeah.
How do we break the habit of filling it with just stuff? Those 15 list and you're like, oh, but I got to get it done. How am I supposed to fit this in? Like, I feel like we get in these routines of just everything and then changing the way that we think. Like you've done massive brain research on helping people.
Such a nerd with the brain research. Well, when we understand how our brain works, I think first of all, we're like, oh, okay. And then we're like, okay, I'm totally normal. Like I'm not weird. I'm not some anomaly. And when we understand how our brain works, then it's like, oh, if I understand how my brain works, then I can change how my brain thinks. Right. And we stop chasing after every shiny object that comes our way. One of the most interesting brain research things that I talk about in On Purpose to me is really this idea of why don't we do things that are tied to our purpose? And when I talk about purpose, I feel like that word is really weighted. So I want to talk about that for a second, because I think people feel like it's like purpose, like it's this heavy thing that like defines us now and forever. And we're like, oh my gosh, so scared of it.
Yeah.
Purpose honestly means living bigger than today. It's looking out on the horizon, seeing a brighter tomorrow, and tying our actions of today to that vision we have for ourselves in the future. So it's doing things that are truly an investment in ourselves. So why is it hard to do the things that are investment for ourselves? Well, this brain research, I think, to me was like the whole key that unlocked the whole thing for me. So essentially, this is fMRI study where they study the parts of the brain that light up and activate when we talk about ourselves. So they put these participants in this fMRI machine and they asked them to speak about themselves today. And they would do that. And this certain part of their brain would like light up like Christmas trees, right? And they'd say, okay, talk about yourself in the future. Now, the future could be 3 years from now, could be 3 weeks from now, could be 3 hours from now. But when they would talk about themselves in the future, these same people, a different part of their brain would light up than the part that would light up when they spoke about themselves. So that's interesting. But what's even more fascinating is this. When they would have those same participants talk about Natalie Portman or Matt Damon, the same part of their brain would light up when they're talking about themselves in the future. So in other words, to your brain, you in the future are not really you. It's some stranger that looks like you and acts like you and has the same name as you, but isn't really you. So your brain is really hardwired for today because your brain is all about survival. It's like, let me just make sure we escape the saber-toothed tiger. Let's make it through the day, right? This is why our brain prioritizes today over investments in tomorrow, which means this is why we buy the expensive pair of shoes instead of investing in our 401k. This is why we choose the cookie over the carrot. This is why we do the things we do that are not really an investment in ourselves, because we're chasing all these things because our brain is prioritizing, what do I want today instead of what do I want tomorrow? But when we do work that's towards tomorrow, that's connected with tomorrow, that's when we get the satisfaction in our soul. So when we understand that, we can really kind of hijack our brain and say, oh, if my brain doesn't really connect me with me in the future, how can I make that connection? And there's lots of ways we can do that, you know, through even using filters on programs like even Instagram and Snapchat and really doing some age progression, or, you know, finding a picture of a marathon runner if you're wanting to run a marathon and superimposing your face on that marathon runner's face, right? Just kind of photoshopping it. There's lots of ways we can start to see ourselves in the future so we can connect our actions of today with tomorrow, which builds in that sense of satisfaction. So that's just one example of how our brain works. And then you're like, oh, this is why I've struggled with goals. This is why, you know, I have a hard time doing things for myself in the future. There's nothing wrong with you. Let me say that one more time, because I think you need to hear that. There is nothing wrong with you. It is not you that has failed. It's that your brain has been prioritizing today. And that's okay. Now that we know that, we can move forward with confidence, knowing that we can change the way that our brain works.
That's so good. And I'm looking at one of your Instagram quotes right now. And I think this, like what you just said, nails this. People always look at the cost of a course, a coach, a book, and they don't look at how much it's costing them to stay where they are. Even like with the marathon that you were just talking about and the carrots, like I'm guilty. I'd rather choose a cookie any day. Milk Duds is like
any day of the week.
I'm so obsessed with Milk Duds right now. I didn't even like them 6 months ago. And my dentist was like, you can't have Milk Duds anymore. So my brain's like, I have to have Milk Duds.
More Milk Duds. More Milk Duds.
So I get it. Like now our brain is so focused at right now and we're forgetting to look into the future. And I love that you're like, go into Photoshop, take your head and stick it on a marathon runner or stick it on who you want to be in the future to make that connection.
Oh, that's yeah. So even powerful. Age progressing a picture of yourself. So you look older when you're deciding how much money to save for your 401k. I mean, studies literally show you will save more if you see a picture of yourself age progressed than if you are just sitting at your desk. So really kind of hijacking how our brain works allows us to make those connections. And then we can start to really do action. Yeah.
Talked about 401k. What are some other questions or other thoughts that we should envision ourselves in the future? Money is always
one of them. Oh my gosh. Money is always one of them. But here's the thing that's because people always ask me, like, you know, what does it look like to be successful? And honestly, it's what is it you want in the future, right? Whether it's, you know, having a healthier lifestyle, thus wanting to run the marathon or eating healthier or doing those types of things. Or whether it's, you know, running your own company or corporation or starting a foundation or running any of those things is really unique to you. And I think, to be honest with you, this is one of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to setting their goals is we don't set goals for ourselves. We look around, we want a list, like, tell me what are the things that I should be doing so that my future is better. And it's really because we're looking like left, we're looking right, we're looking around, we're like, ooh, what's she doing over here? She's doing amazing things. I need to do what she's doing. Or, wow, look how this girl's running her company. I need to do those things. And so we're looking around for success based off what everybody else is doing. Instead of really looking at ourselves and saying, okay, what is it I want? What is it that would have a lot of meaning to me? And when I work with entrepreneurs a lot of times and we're talking about things like money, how much money you want to make, how much money, you know, what does that look like on your paycheck or whatever, or with your revenue and your company? I always say, let's not start with the money. Let's start with the lifestyle. Yeah. Money is a vehicle to get you there, just like goals are a vehicle to get you the life you want, right? So what does your lifestyle look like? What do your relationships look like? Where do you want to live? What kinds of things do you want to be doing? And then let's figure out, okay, if we know what that looks like, how much money do you really need? Because I think we really set arbitrary goals for ourselves. I need to make $100,000. Why? Well, because that's what she's doing over there, right? Or because that's what I keep hearing. Everybody else is making $100,000. Well, maybe you don't need $100,000 for the lifestyle you really want. Maybe you want to live off the grid. Maybe you want to, you know, do other things. Maybe you want to travel with a backpack. You don't need $100,000 to travel with a backpack, right? So it's really taking the time to uncover who are you and what do you want? And I think that is honestly probably the biggest problem I run into when I talk to people about their goals is we don't know because we don't take the time to pause. We're so busy being busy that we don't think that it's a good use of our time to like stop. And so it really is, I call it the forest view. It's zooming out to see the forest. When you're in the forest, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? Mm-hmm. What is it you want? And then we can start to map out and figure out what we want. And in the book, in On Purpose, we talk about how do you figure out what your goals are? If you know what you want in the future, do you want to get into that? I love talking about wayfinding.
Yeah, because we're busy moms. A lot of us are moms. Mm-hmm. We start businesses. We graduate from college. We get in a job. And it's almost like we forget who we are. And we've got all these layers of who we're supposed to be on us. And how do we start taking those off to say, wait, who am I? What is my purpose? Yes. What am I doing here? So what tools, you call it the wayfinding, but tell us more about that process and so we can dive into that.
Yeah. Let me back up a little bit because I love what you said there about who am I? We take on all this armor of who we're supposed to be, what a good mom looks like, right? What a good wife looks like, what a good business owner looks like. And we start taking on these stories a lot of times that aren't even our stories, and we lose sight of who we are. So one of the first things is, okay, let's figure out who do you think you want to be in the future? And the best way to do that is by looking backwards. You have to look backwards in order to be able to look forwards, really taking time to reflect. And the first part of the book is about reflection, because I think reflection is so powerful in uncovering who we really are. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of times where I like to start, because people say, okay, I want to dream of a future. I have no idea what that future looks like. So let's start by looking backwards. And we go through a couple of different exercises and strategies in the book, but just for the sake of time, let's talk about one of them. Think about who you wanted to be when you grew up, when you were younger, before adulting started and you started being responsible and saying that those things were silly, right? When you were a kid, anything was possible. Everything was possible. Honestly, you thought you could accomplish anything. So let's go back to your childhood, because you have this whole amazing library of who you are when you were a kid. So when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to be a fireman or an astronaut or a teacher? Or maybe you wanted to be like an alien, or you wanted to be Wonder Woman, something crazy like that, right? And we think, oh, that's so silly. But let's dive into it. Why did you want to be Wonder Woman? What was it about Wonder Woman? Was it that she stood for truth and justice? Was it that she could get truth out of any situation? Was it that she stood for a whole generation of young girls she inspired them, right? Mm-hmm. What was it about Wonder Woman that really appealed to you? A lot of times we start digging into our past of what were the things that we loved? What are the things we aspired to be? And we ask that question of why, and we ask it a couple of times. In the book, we talk about the fifth why. Mm-hmm. We dive into really the heart of who you are without that cloak of adulthood. Not being the person who worries about the mortgage or the rent or, you know, feeding the kids and all those things. Who are you? When you start to have that, you can start using that in the future. That becomes like your tinder for starting that fire, igniting that passion inside of you. So we use our past to really look forward into the future. I say in the book that sometimes you have to look backwards to see where you've been in order to see how far you can go in moving forward. So that gives us an idea of where we want to go, right? If we start using that. So when we look far off into the future, we start to create what I call a landmark for our future of where it is we want to go, this big, beautiful vision of what the future could look like. And so in the book, I do this line drawing, almost like a timeline, like a little map. And we have, you are here at one end, and we have this big, beautiful vision of where you want to go, your potential, we'll call it. Where do you want to go potentially in like 10 years, 20 years, based off your purpose and your passion? then what if we back it up? Because 10 years down the road, that's pretty far, right? And we know that we have a hard time connecting who we are today with who we are in the future. So let's back it up. If that's what's your potential in 10 to 20 years, what do you think is possible in like 3 to 5 years? So if that's possible in 3 to 5 years, we back it up a little bit more. What is practical in the next 12 months, the next 18 months that will get you to that big, beautiful vision, right? We just start backing it up. We start with your potential, then we back up. What's possible in 3 to 5 years? Then what's practical in the next 12 to 18 months? And then what do we need to prioritize in the next 3 months, the next 6 months, the next 9 months? Those things we want to prioritize, those are your goals. Those are the goals that are designed for you because they're based on that vision of what you want off in the future. So we're no longer setting these arbitrary goals based off what everybody else wants for us or thinks that we should be doing, right? Living up to other people's expectations, cramming ourselves in those tidy little boxes that people want to cram us into. And we start setting goals for us. That's when we start getting ignited and on fire for what we're doing. So if you've had goals in the past and you're like, ooh, I'm on fire for it in January. And then by February, you're like, ugh, these goals, right? Like you don't even want to think about them. It's often because those weren't really your goals. You were just kind of setting goals arbitrarily. And that's okay. Now that we know how to do this, so it really has more meaning, you can set goals that have meaning to you.
Oh, so incredibly powerful. And you like saying, why did we want to be Wonder Woman? Why did we want to be the firefighter? Why was it? And then looking at it more of like, what did they serve and who did they stand for versus, oh, I just want to look good in those tights or whatever she wore, right?
I mean, she did look really good.
Yeah, she did. But we go and we have to go so much deeper. I remember as a little kid, I was sitting in a room and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And everybody else said, I want to be a mom. I want to be a mom. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I wanted to be a mom, but out of my mouth said, I want to be the CEO of a big company. And I kind of took a couple people by surprise. I didn't use CEO because I didn't know what that meant, but the owner of a big company. And I, while you were saying that, I'm like, why did I want to do that? And then it helps me remember, it's because I wanted to set my own schedule to impact people. I saw business people changing lives. And so as you said that, I was just thinking all of those stories that I had in my head about why I wanted to do that as a kid. And it's funny because that's what I'm doing today. Just working so hard to improve people's lives. So I love, love, love that you brought that up. So good.
I think that's the thing is we have so much of a history behind us. And a lot of times we want to shove it underneath the rug or we want to pretend like it doesn't exist or we don't make time for reflection when reflection is really so powerful. It really clarifies in so many ways. You know, we talked about overwhelm is not having too much to do. It's not knowing where to start. That gives you a place to start. You're not starting with a blank page. When you're sitting down, you're like, what is my purpose? That is big and heavy. You're not starting with a blank page. Start asking those questions of why did I love this? Why did I want that? Why did I think that was amazing? And just start diving into it. And it's funny, those emotions will start bubbling up to the surface really, really easily. And then you start thinking, oh, I remember when this felt like that was possible. So let's get back to that, right? Let's tap into our inner child. There's nothing wrong or silly with wanting the same things that we wanted as a kid. It's just putting a grown-up spin on what's possible, right?
Mm-hmm. So good. Okay, so you've got the two books, The Joy of Missing Out, and then On Purpose is coming out. Why? I think everybody needs to have both these books. Like, honestly, I do. The Joy of Missing Out was an absolute game changer in my feeling guilty and feeling like I'm doing too much. And it gave me permission to be like, why? Why do I have to do all this? Like, I loved that book so much. And now this On Purpose one is being released like right around. We'll put in the show notes the link for where you can get it and all that kind of stuff. So real quick, describe the difference between the two and then tell us the reason why you have to have the two, which I totally think you have to have both.
Yeah. Well, I like to say they're like peanut butter and chocolate. Like equally amazing on their own, but together, oh, so much better. I'm a big fan of chocolate and peanut butter together. So
convinced everybody right there with that analogy.
Right? I mean, enough said, right? Chocolate and peanut butter. There you go. Well, I like to say that the joy of missing out, that JOMO is really about structuring your days. How do you really structure your days so that you feel really accomplished, so you end your days feeling amazing, like we talked about? To be honest with you, when I wrote the book proposal for The Joy of Missing Out, the publishing houses were really excited because they said, this is the first book, maybe ever, written by a woman for women on how to create a productivity system for yourself. Like, all the books are written by men. They're all written by men, and they have kind of that masculine energy to them. And so I wrote The Joy of Missing Out so you felt like you could be more successful in your day. So we talk about things like, how do you create a priority list? How do you really make sure that you're doing less in your day while still doing laundry, while still paying the bills, while still doing those things? So we talk about automations, we talk about habits, and that creates a beautiful foundation that then we can use once we've structured our weeks into living on purpose. Again, you can read On Purpose without having read JOMO, but they go really well together. On Purpose is almost the continuation of, okay, now I have some structure in my days. Now what? How do I really make my days have more meaning? How do I find more joy and happiness in my everyday life? And it's really by figuring out, how do we connect what we're structuring in our weeks with what we really want in the future and marrying those together? So they really, like I said, they go together really well, chocolate and peanut butter. They also can be read separately. If you just want to structure your days, you can certainly read Joy of Missing Out, but the people who've done the advanced copies and have read Joy of Missing Out and On Purpose are like, oh my gosh, it's like together. They're like this beautiful primer of how you can live your life on your own terms. It's really about structuring your days and your weeks and your life as a whole. So it's really focused in on what you want in the most guilt-free way possible. Because when we do the things that light our soul on fire, when we do the work that allows us to go to bed and feel amazing, that's when we can shine our light even brighter on everyone else around us. That's when we make the bigger impact, because we are more satisfied and we're happier. And I want you to think about, when you're happier, you're a better wife, mom, business owner, friend, community member. All of those things become easier, right? So it really is about finding ways to do the things that you really want to do while still making sure you're getting all the other things done in your day that you need to get done. Okay, and choosing to say no to some of those things.
So good. So good. So we're drooling over the chocolate and peanut butter analogy. Where do we find these books? Where do we find you? And tell us all the things.
Yes. So the best place to find me and to find information about the books is to go to tanyadalton.com. The books are available anywhere books are sold: Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, your local bookseller. Bookshop.org is another great resource. That is a way that you can order online from independent bookstores, which I love really supporting, especially in the season that we're in. So Bookshop is another great place. You can find links to all of those on my website, tanyadalton.com. You can also find links to my podcast, The Intentional Advantage, and I have videos and all kinds of things on that site as well. So tanyadalton.com is the best place to find me, and then getting the books anywhere books are sold.
Yes. And Tanya is spelled with a T-A instead of a T-O. Yes. Just FYI.
T-A-N-Y-A.
Yes. Anybody that's Googling it right now, it's a T-A.
Although both of them go to my same site. So
you got both of them?
I got both domains. Yes. I like to tell business owners, if you're using your name, buy any of the misspellings of your name, because then it redirects.
So good. So good. So good. Thank you so much. You shared so much with us today. Everybody listening, go get those books. They will truly, truly give you permission to find your purpose and go to sleep and be fulfilled. And I think that's what we're craving right now, is that feeling. So go get them. Tanya, thank you so much. That was so good. That was so good.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking to you about all of this. I love talking to people who resonate with the book and have gotten so much out of it. That's why I write the books. So thank you.
If you're listening to the episode, doesn't it just make you feel lighter? Like, all the things on your to-do list, you can go through and you can cross off some of them and have permission to do it and still be as happy. I know the fear of missing out is a real thing. And when we learn that there's joy in missing out, it just calms my heart so incredibly much. And I hope that does to you as well. That's why I brought Tanya in. It's because I think we're in such a culture of go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. And then we're so burnt out, we don't actually get to enjoy our loved ones. I know. It's so good. So powerful. So I hope that you are loving these podcast episodes. So let's dive into the top 10 takeaways with number one. You don't have to do it all. If you don't want to be on TikTok and Instagram stories and all the places for your business, guess what? You don't have to. Be okay with it. Have the joy of missing out. Number two, choose to do the things that have meaning to you. Let everything else go. Number three, overwhelm is not having too much to do. It's not knowing where to start. I love that one. Love that one. Know where to start and overwhelm disappears. And to learn to do that, just start writing things out. And then just choose one of the things on your to-do list. Don't look at anything else. Just get that one thing accomplished. Number four, she actually says, don't make the to-do list. Make a priority list. So write it all down and then circle the things that are absolute priorities and get those done. That's going to help you with your overwhelm. Number five, we can do less in our day and still feel like we're accomplishing so much once we learn to get rid of that non-essential stuff. Number six, you're the one that gets to define what success actually is and how you've accomplished it in your day. Number seven, look backward in order to look forward. Number eight, live life on your own terms. Number nine, we make a bigger impact when we are happier. And then number 10, learn, find that joy of missing out so that you can step into being present, to being with your family, your loved ones, with your business, not feeling so stretched thin. All right. I hope you loved this podcast episode. Have a beautiful, beautiful day, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Because I Can podcast. Do you have a question that you'd like me to answer raw and uncut on the podcast? All you need to do is head over to Apple Podcast and do three simple things. Number one, leave a rating and review and tell me what you think of the podcast. Number two, in that review, ask anything you want related to your lifestyle business. And number three, if you want a shout out, make sure to leave your Instagram handle or your name. That's all. Then just listen to hear your question answered live, raw, and uncut. Don't forget to join us next time on the Because I Can podcast. We'll see you then.